Well, good morning. Good morning. My name is Dorsey Atkinson. I'm the pastor. Oh my gosh, that little baby here. I'm just so excited. Tell me the name again. Addison. So Addison has been coming to church for 9 months here, but this is the first time that she's came and has her eyes open, and it's not this dark blur, you know, and this is what I've been sounding like to her. So good to have Addison here and you, Nicole, so that's just wonderful. Did I say my name? My name is Dorsey Atkinson. I'm the pastor here at LifeSpring, and I'm so glad that you're here at the Wesley campus. We have an interesting image for our sermon today. Selective hearing. Warning, selective hearing. And probably there was a lot of you, if you have a significant other or something like that, that all the guys probably got hunched by a girl somewhere or another or said, you need to listen to this sermon today. I don't know what it's going to be about, but it's probably going to be pertaining to you. Now, I don't know how you feel about selective hearing and what your thoughts is on selective hearing. And I just got a couple stories I want to tell you about this. But for me, there was an example that happened just yesterday. Yesterday, we were we took all of our grandchildren, which is three, and all of our children, two of the three children, and then fiancés and in-laws and all that we took. So we had a total of, how many, Jody? We don't even know how many we got, you know? So it's like three is 9, 10, 11. We took 10 of the 11 of our immediate family. You got me? And so we went in three different cars and we're heading down there. And when we were driving back last night, and Morrison, my grandson by my oldest son, and Caitlin works for our youth here, he is coming up on three. And he was riding in the car seat, and Jody and I were in the front. I was driving, and Caitlin was in the back behind me. Well, they started talking about, well, let me just talk about Morrison first. Morrison was playing with his little cars. You know, they got little cars. He's in the car seat. He's got his little cup holders. And instead of drinks in the cup holders, he's got cars in there. And so he's having his own conversation. Have you ever been around a 2 or 3 or 4 year old when they're playing with their own thing and they get to be in their own world and they're like singing their songs and doing their things? And I can't see him, but I can hear him. And he's talking to himself, and Ryder is doing something, and Rubble on the Double is doing something. There are all these things that are going on in this whole world, and this car is doing this, and every once in a while, room, room, and then I heard, I love you, you love me. There was a Barney song come up. I'm hearing all this. And so, but Jody and Caitlin are talking about other stuff. So they're talking about Danielle's upcoming wedding and things of that nature. They're talking about church. We're talking about this, that, and the other. And I'm driving, and I'm sort of in my own world. I love you, you love me. I'm not paying attention to it, you understand? But anyway, they got to this one point, and Morrison is just doing so great. You know, it's a 3-hour. We went to the Jacksonville Zoo. That's where we went, and I didn't tell you that part. We went to the Jacksonville Zoo, and we were driving back, and he was tired and everything, but he was into his playing. And then all of a sudden, they started talking about his birthday party coming up. And they said, well, what's the theme going to be for the birthday party? And Caitlin said, well, I'm thinking superheroes, or it might be this, or, you know, Morrison, just no comments from him or anything, you know, but maybe this. And then she said, I thought about Paw Patrol theme. And all of a sudden, Paw Patrol, this boy comes out of the trance that he's in and starts talking about Paw Patrol. Is anybody familiar with Paw Patrol? Okay, so this is a new one on me. It's not Scooby-Doo, so it's out of my generation. So, but he is all up and just, because Paw Patrol means so much to him. Now, selective hearing is one of those things where you hear what you want to hear, I guess you would say. Or you hear what's important to you. In fact, selective hearing is when we unconsciously block out other sounds while we're interacting with what we're doing. So while we're doing what we're doing, we deliberately choose to focus on this rather than what you're talking about. Now, ladies, I'm just going to give you an insight to this. When you think that a guy can't focus, selective hearing is a way that we show we can focus. We just don't focus on what you want us to focus on, but we can focus. We're into it. You know, if we're at a ball game, you know, Jody has come in there, and I'm in a ball game, and her and Daniel, whoever's in the house, starts talking, and I'm like, I listen for a little bit, but that has nothing to do with me. I'm back into the game. Well, then they start talking louder, thinking that's going to draw my attention out of the game. But rather than drawing my attention out of the game, what does it do, guys? I focus more, and I hear less. And to the point where I hear so little that you have to not only say, Dorsey, are you listening? But you have to hit me in the arm to get my attention. Because see, here's the thing about selective hearing. When you're selectively hearing something, you don't realize this, but you're selectively choosing not to hear other things. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
So if I'm hearing certain things or I'm focused on certain things, I'm hearing it, whether it's conscious or unconsciously doing it, then I'm selectively or consciously or unconsciously not hearing things. Now, I would go on to say this. I think that we have times when we selective see things and we selectively ignore things. I think selective hearing is just an example that we do and we all can understand and relate to it. But I don't think we realize that sometimes we see what we want to see and sometimes we don't see things because we choose not to see it. It's not that it's not there, but we're not focused on that. We're focused on something else. Selective hearing is one of those things that for any of you, does anybody else deal with this issue? Do any of y'all have somebody that you know has selective hearing? Are you guilty of selective hearing? Yeah, everybody's pointing at everybody else. I have not seen a single person point at themselves. Everybody, listen, you on the front row, y'all may be on the camera. He's over here doing like this, and she's over here doing like this. Jose's back here at the back doing the same thing. Him and Paula's pointing. Xavier back there, he's pointing like this, but he ain't that. We all can relate to selective hearing. And again, the reasons are, maybe it's that we think that doesn't pertain to me. So when they're talking about the wedding, because listen to me. I love my daughter. I've already done one of my son's, I've done my oldest son's wedding already. And my daughter's coming up on getting married in October. I've probably done 40 or 50 marriages in my whole life. But when I hear them talk about wedding now, I don't hear, well, who's going to walk her down the aisle, who's going to do, all I hear is cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. That's all I hear. I just hear the cash register ringing up and just feel my wallet get lighter. You understand? That's what I'm sensing. So I'm just like, that makes me feel uncomfortable, you know, so I don't listen. I just don't want to hear. And actually, I'm not allowed to hear anymore because Jody says that I'm not supposed to say anything anymore about that. That it's just, look at her. Look at your first lady back there. She's giving me the eye from back there. You understand? I'm already in trouble. But again, we think it doesn't pertain to us. So what we do is we get more detached from it. Selective hearing or selective seeing or selective ignoring means we really are choosing to detach ourselves. And sometimes where we're talking about guys that we would get hyper-focused when they talk louder because we want, you know, we get more focused, sometimes we get more detached from the things around us. The disciples had been with Jesus for a long time, 2 or 3 years that they were hanging out together. And he'd been talking to them that he was sent from heaven, that he was God's son, that God was his father, and he was like, you know, he talked so much about the Father in heaven, trying to explain and demonstrate to his followers who God was. And one day he's going through this sort of description, and one of the disciples just sort of gets to that point where he's just maybe flustered, maybe like feels like, Jesus, you're talking too many parables. Just tell us straight up. And so he sort of tells Jesus, he's like, Jesus, why don't you just tell us? Why don't you just show us the Father? Don't talk in riddles anymore. Just show it to us. And Jesus said this to Philip, one of his disciples. Said, Jesus answered him, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been around you or among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? So in this thing, in this example here that I'm presenting to you, Jesus even dealt with selective hearing. People didn't want to hear that he's the image of God on earth. They just want him to show him God. Show us the Father. I don't want to hear that you're the example. Show me something else. It's not matching up to how and what I thought it would be like. And so he tells them, or he's saying it, don't you know me? Or he could have thrown in another sentence, have you just been selective hearing what I've been saying? Have you just been selective looking at what I'm doing? And you've missed the Father who's been in your presence the whole time. See, I want to talk today about helping you and myself avoid this snare or this trap that we can get in of selective hearing when it comes to God. See, many of us want to hear from God, but we want to only hear those things that pertain to us. Or we only want to hear those things that bring us comfort, but doesn't bring us discomfort. We want to selectively hear those things that I'm looking for in you, God, but I don't want to hear these things that might cause me a little bit of troubles, anxieties, change of lifestyle, change of doing things that might make me a little bit uncomfortable, might cause some tension in my life, so I don't want to hear that. I just want to hear about these good things. Let me tell you something that I'm learning now. You can't take only the positive bits and pieces of the Bible and weave your life around just those things that fit up to you as a male or as a female, as a young person or an old person, and throw everything else out of the Scriptures. We have to take the Scriptures as a whole. We have to take it from beginning to end as a whole, which means we have to struggle with the tension and the things that we see in the Scriptures of God being this loving God that blesses, but yet he begins to be this God that when people disobey him, there's even examples of the earth just opening up, they're going in, it closes up, they're gone. We have to deal with the rewards and the blessings of God along with the punishments for disobedience. We have to deal with the things that, oh yeah, I'm lined up with that, I'm agreeing with that, that makes me feel good, and the things that's like, that makes me a little uncomfortable. We have to deal with them both. See, Jesus wants to teach us that it's okay to have selective hearing when your hearing is of God and not of the world. When we selectively choose to hear God and turn our focus to God rather than listening to all the other chatter in the world. So selective hearing, in one sense, could be you're choosing to hear what you want to hear and you're ignoring this other. And what God is saying, I want you to select and choose me to hear what I'm saying to you. Now, there's a time in Matthew that it talks about. Jesus is again talking about what the future looks like to his disciples. And he's been talking to them about, you know, this is what they were asking questions like, you know, this looks like the end of times. Things are happening badly. This is might be the end of times. What's going to happen? What's going to be the signs? What's going to happen at the end of times? And I can tell you in my personal life, I've heard many people say these things. Not just in recent times, but in years past. In recent times, I've heard, oh man, President Trump is in there. It's just not good. This is the end of times. There's earthquakes, there's volcanoes, there's all these things it's written about in the Scriptures. I'll go back when Obama became president. Oh, that's the Antichrist. It's this, that, and the other. And all of these things come up. I go all the way back to JFK. You go all the way back. There's been times and times where people think that in Jesus' day, it's the same thing. Is this the end? What's the end going to look like? What's it going to look like? What's the kingdom going to look like? How will we know? What's it going to be like, Jesus? If you come from heaven, if we see you, then we've seen God, then what does it look like or what's it going to be like? Tell me what the end is going to be like. And Jesus says this in Matthew 24. He says, at that time, many will turn away from their faith and will betray and hate each other. Now, I just want to just pause there for a minute. It means that people had faith. People were connected with one another. But he says at that time it's going to get so tough, people are going to drop things. And he says they're going to turn away from their faith and betray and even hate each other. And many false prophets or false teachers will appear, and they're going to deceive people. Because of this increase in wickedness, which means, yes, there's some wickedness, but it's going to get worse. This wickedness is going to get worse as people abandon their faith. As people abandon the teachings, he said it's going to get worse and wickedness is going to grow. And he says, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. So listen to this. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. So when you hear this, people are like, oh man, that sounds bad. They hear selective hearing. That sounds bad. There's a lot of wickedness. There's a lot of evil. People are going to turn away from faith. And they hear that. But let me show you another thing that I want to show. Now, yes, there's going to be the, listen, it says, is 13 up there? Can you put 13, 12 up there. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of, what does that say?
Most
will grow cold. Does that mean all? So what does that mean about the others that don't turn cold? What will they be doing? They'll be loving. They'll be warm. They'll be caring. See, people selectively hear this and go, "It looks how bad. Look how bad it is." And I'm sitting here going, but not everybody. And that group that's not everybody, the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Not everybody's going to go to hell. Do you sort of see that? But others would go, it's just going to be terrible. And I'm like, but not everybody. So the question becomes is not worrying about the one part about growing cold, but how do we stay warm? How do we keep our love warm? How do we keep our love hot? How in the midst of wickedness that we hold on to our faith? Because one of the signs of losing your faith is you start to hate people. See, in this world, I'm learning, I'm just going to be honest, and my grandmother's gone, and I love her. My grandmother used to use the N-word. And if you don't know what that is, then you're a fortunate person because you were raised in a culture that you don't understand that. But in a culture when we grew up years ago, that's a bad word. And in a lot of places in white society, it was used way too much. And my grandmother used this word. Now, I love my grandmother, but I hated that word. My grandmother was brought up in a time when they were segregation. I wasn't. My friends were of the other races. Do you understand what I'm saying? But she wasn't. She wasn't brought up like that. But that word I hated. And I would try to correct my grandmother over and over and over again. It was almost embarrassing to bring my friends who were of other colors to my grandmother's home because of what she might say. Do you understand? So I couldn't even bring all my friends around her. And I hated that word. I hated that my grandmother used that word. But I never stopped loving my grandmother. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, that's the way it is in some of the things that are going on in the world. We start to hate what people do, and then we begin to hate the person. And I think that's a gateway to open up this wickedness where we turn away from our faith. See, if it was such as that, then Jesus, when he saw the sins and saw the things and he saw the things going on in our heart, he would hate us. But see, he doesn't hate us. He doesn't hate us for the mistakes that we made, for the things that we did. He hates the things we did, but he loves us. Do you understand? And he doesn't walk away. He doesn't walk away during this time. And so, for me, this God, when it says this, that when Jesus is talking about this, that because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. My love of my grandmother did not grow cold. it actually grew. I grew in more in love with her, trying to figure out how to teach her something that she wasn't taught as a young girl. Are you tracking me? But I still didn't like that word. I didn't like what she did. But I didn't stop going to see my grandmother. I did stop bringing my friends because I was scared of what that is or what she'd say. But I still went over there. I still loved her. I still served her. I did everything I could. I was there. In fact, when she passed away, I helped carry her lifeless body out of the house because we was in such a tiny house. But I didn't stop loving her. And this day, I still love her. I still love the things that she taught. But I hated that. Does everybody understand where I'm coming from? So maybe there's something like that that you see happening in the world today you don't agree with, that you hate. And see, we got to separate the actions of people from the people. You with me? So here's where I'm going with this. After Jesus says this in chapter 24, he goes on to start describing the end of times. And he tells a story. He tells three different stories, but one of them, he says, and let me tell you, nowhere in the scriptures have I ever heard Jesus compare life to a cell phone. Have you? Nowhere in scriptures have I seen any parable or illustration of Jesus talking about an automobile. Have you? Why? Huh? They didn't have it back then, right? But then why would he give us parables and examples if he knew that we would need examples in the future? Why wouldn't he go ahead and talk about cell phones and cars? Because those people might not get it, but we could. Because he chose things that would last throughout all the changes in the world. That these stories that you hear. So what he tells this story about, he's like, here's what the end of time is going to be like. It's going to be like a shepherd who has this field. And in this field he has sheep and goat, and they're all just running around there together. And he's taking care of them, he's leading them all to water, and he's taking care of them. They're all mixed in together. But there comes a time, at the end of time, when this shepherd's going to separate the sheep from the goat. Now there's a lot of characteristics that are the same. They all have four legs, they all have, you can drink their milk. As humans can drink their milk, you could eat the flesh, you could use their skins for clothing or something. But here's the thing. Goats and sheep are different. In fact, if you're not a farmer, Jesus didn't say this, but I'm telling you, if you've not been around goats and sheep, they have both herd mentalities. They do things like a herd, do things together. But here's the thing. How many of you have ever seen a sheep ever try to climb up and crawl up and get up in a tree or anything? You don't see it. They don't do it. But have you ever seen a goat do that? I mean, if you got anything, a goat is up on top of that and climbing and doing. You with me? So they're similar, but not the same. And what he's saying is, at the end of time, this shepherd's going to separate them. Goats are going to be on the right. I mean, the sheep are going to be on the right, and the goats are going to be on the left. And then he goes on to say, and he changed from goats and sheep to a story about a king. He said, then the king, which I'm assuming is like the shepherd, will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, and take your inheritance, prepared for you since the creation of the world. So all of this has been lined up for a long time. It's time to happen. We're at that point. You on my right, which is a sheep, you come and get your inheritance. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. And I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink, and I was a stranger, and you know what you did? You invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I get this image of somebody throwing up and somebody holding their hair from getting the throw up in their hair. And I was in prison, and you came and visited me. Then the righteous, or the ones on the right, or the sheep, answered, well, Lord, King, when did we ever see you hungry and give you something to eat? When did we ever see you thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we ever see you as a stranger and invite you in. And my gosh, if my king was sick and I had the opportunity to help, when did I not do that? And when in the world was my king naked in this world and I didn't bring him clothes? He could have had the clothes off my back. You're the king, for goodness sake. When did that ever happen? And then the king replied, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." See, selective hearing, selective seeing is that thing where we do things because of who they are. And what they, so if I knew you're the king, I'm for doing it. I'll give you the clothes, I'll come visit you, I'll come see you and all that. So that sounds good. But then the story goes on, he talks about these goats. And so he looks over here to the group on the other side and he said, "You guys get away from me. You're out of here, you're cast out. There is no inheritance for you. Your inheritance is death." What? And then he goes on to say, "Because when I was hungry, you didn't give me anything to eat. And there was a time I was so thirsty, I would have robbed to get water. And you had it and you wouldn't give it to me. And there was a time when I was so alone in a place around people that I wasn't comfortable with, and you saw me and you did nothing and didn't come see me. There was a time when I was naked and had no clothes. And you saw it. And you didn't do anything about it. And I was sick. You didn't help me out. You didn't bring me any medicine. And you know what? I needed a ride to church one day and you didn't do that. There was other things that were going on in my life. I was in prison. You know, alcoholism can be a prison. Addiction can be a prison. Pornography can be a prison. Depression can be a prison. You know, we think about prison being bars. There's all kinds of prison. Loneliness. Isolation, rejection. And I was in prison and you didn't come see me. And they said, "When did we ever see that?" And he says, "When you didn't do for the least of these, you didn't do for me." See, selective hearing is reading these scriptures and seeing or hearing about the things that people did and saying, "I want to be a sheep. I want to be a sheep." Selective hearing means I hear this about feed the hungry, feed the this, and give something to the thirsty and give clothing and all, which sounds great when you're talking about the people that are sheep. But see, there's two sides of this. He's like, "Listen, you sheep do a good job of doing it for yourselves. You see the king, you see me and all that, and you take care of me, but you see these others as goats, and you don't do it for them." See, we look, remember selective hearing, remember I was telling you my attention is focused on something, I'm hyper attentive to what I'm doing. I'm so focused on helping the people in my church, in my family, in my that I fail to see those that are right here in my office, in my school, in the ways, that, in the places that God puts them into my life. I see tattoos on them, and I don't see them anymore. I see the color of their skin, and I don't see them anymore. I see the choices that they've made in the past that got them into trouble. Maybe they weren't good with handling money. Maybe they blew their money. Maybe they did stuff. Maybe they treated people badly. And I see that, and I'm done with them. I don't help them anymore. We called out prayer concerns. Did y'all do prayer concerns in this campus before we started? At the other campus, we do prayer concerns. And we called out someone that was in our congregation who has been hurt, fell through the attic and was hurt. And we called out and we said we need to be in prayer for this person and her husband and this, that, and the other. We had another person. Her mom just died this morning at 6:30 at the other campus. She's been taken care of for years. Her daddy's an invalid, and she's been dealing with that. She's been driving down, and she can't be in church. And we talked about these things, and then we called them out in prayer concerns, and we prayed at a certain point in that service. And I said, interesting thing that we'll call those names out. yet we won't send them a card. We won't encourage them. We won't go visit them. We'll think that they're visiting. You know, Javi calls out, "Hey, I went and visited John. He was sick and I went and visited." And we hear that Javi went and did that and we're like, well, Javi represents us. So if Javi called or Javi did something, that means that I'm excluded. I don't have to do something. You know, Tiffany and Natasha back there, they visit and they call and they're all about helping. Teresa, they do these things. They do volunteer stuff out there in the community and they do these things. And we sit there and go, well, they're part of our family, so that counts. But it's not what they did at the end that we're going to be held accountable for. It's what you did. Just because you hang out with sheep doesn't make you a sheep. And when the sheep are feeding the hungry, and the sheep are giving water and giving rides, Preston gets a ride here. We got 4 or 5 people. Some of the children in our children's programming depend on our group or someone to bring them to our children's activity. And if they don't, they can't get there. And we think, in some areas, well, I don't have children, so I'm not worried about it. I'm more worried about the senior ministry. I'm more worried about this. And yet, these little babies don't get there. When God separates us at the end, when the King separates us, is that going to throw us in the sheep category or in the goat category? So how do we avoid this snare? So I've told you all this. How do we avoid this snare? So here's what we're going to do this week. I want you to write down these 4 things. There's 4 things that I want you to do this week. Okay? 4 things. If you need a pencil, Tiffany, or we'll hand you one, or Katie or somebody will bring you one. There's a basket back there. We'll get you one. I want you to write these 4 things down. You got room on the bottom of your little message notes. Here's the first one. I want you to read Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, 2 or 3 times this week. Okay? That's the story I just told you. I just want you to read it a couple times this week. Okay? That's a pretty simple thing. It's 15 verses. That's it. Maybe 15, 16 sentences. 17 sentences. That's all I want. I want you to read that a couple times this week. That's number one. Number two, once you read it, I want you to reflect on it. I want you to reflect on what you read and how, through what you've read, have you been seeing people or hearing what people say. So I just want you to, so you're reading it and then you're with, I just want you to, I don't want you to think about how this relates to people in Africa or Indonesia or somewhere like that, though it does, but for this assignment that I'm giving you, I want you to think about it, how it relates to the people in your circle of influence, the people in your family, the people in your neighbors, the people in your congregation in this church, the people in your work, the people in your school, the friends that you're making. Does everybody understand that? So again, this has context with everywhere in the world, but I want you to think about your circle of influence. So reflect on it and how you hear people talking to you, and how you see what's going on around you. Number 3, I want you to look and listen for opportunities to put into action what you've learned. So this week, after you've read this and reflected, and during the week as you're doing this, even if you start it on Thursday or Friday, I want you to do this. I want you to look and listen for opportunities to put into action what you've learned. So whatever you've reflected on, what you've learned today, I want you to look for opportunities to put into action. Is there ways that I can feed the hungry even when they don't have royal robes on? Is there ways that I can visit or help the sick or help those that are in prison? Is there any ways that I can do these things? And you'll read this, it'll come to you. But no circle of people around me. Is there any way I can do that even when they don't look like me? So once you see those opportunities, and here comes number 4. I want you to personally do something about it. I don't want you to call me. I don't want you to add it to the prayer list. You can, but I don't want that to be your first move. I want you, to do something about it. When you see it, I want you to do something about it. There'll be one, maybe 2 things, but I want you to do something about it. That's the four things I want you to do this week.